House Committee on Judiciary come to order. Today is Thursday, April 16th. We're going to jump out of order a little bit. The first item on the agenda today will be House Bill 2264. Open a work session.
House Bill 2264 was first heard on February 16th. It authorized civil actions against persons who bring false claims and receive benefits from a state agency or who otherwise knowingly defraud a state agency and created the false claims recovery revolving account to the general fund to support DOJ's actions to recover amounts paid for fraudulent claims. We have -1 amendments, and I believe Tom Holt and Jim Gardner are here to speak to those amendments. We have the paperwork as well. It's a minimal fiscal impact, no revenue impact, so it can be worked today.
It's minimal.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead in the order you'd like. Just identify yourself for the record, please.
Chair Barker, members of the committee, my name is Keith Kabanovich. I'm special counsel to the Attorney General. You have in front of you 2264. To refresh your recollection, this bill provides a cause of action to the state for what are called false claims. It essentially allows us to bring a suit against a company who either bills the state for a mistaken amount of quality or quantity of a product or device that they sell to the government. The standard is a knowing or should have known violation. The statute provides a safe harbor for companies who recognize that they improperly billed the government, and if they cooperate with the department and refund the amount of money that was overbilled, there are no additional penalties upon the business. The provisions in the Act basically are modeled after the Federal False Claims Act, and it allows the Department of Justice to seek up to 3 times the amount of the overpayment or $10,000 for each false claim. Now, the -1 amendments, thank you, were a result of a couple of work group sessions that we had with members of the industry who are adjacent to me now. They brought forward some very good suggestions and some corrections, which I would like to briefly describe to you. The representatives included people from the pharmaceutical industry, the Oregon Medical Association, the Oregon Liability Reform Coalition, and we spoke to members of the Oregon Law Center. And what we did is we redefined and narrowed the definition of claim to be more precise on what a claim is. We revised it to include claims that would be made to a third party, such as in the Medicaid industry. Physicians would, for example, bill a third-party administrator, and we wanted to make sure that that kind of claim, because the money was eventually coming from the government, that that kind of claim would be included in this act. We clarified that a company or an individual would not be liable for both treble damages and for civil money penalties. It would be one or the other, whichever is greater, but not both. And we clarified the statute of limitations, and it is 3 years from the date of discovery, but no more than 10 years from the submission of the claim. We believe that these -1 amendments are improvements to the bill. Recommend that the committee approve them with a due pass recommendation. I will note that there is no fiscal attached to this bill.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, for the members of the committee, for the record, Tom Holt, representing the Oregon Liability Reform Coalition. Mr. Dubanovich has done a good job of describing the -1 amendments. We had, as he noted, several very productive meetings, and we appreciate very much the opportunity to have been able to work with DOJ on what's a fairly complex issue, and the chair's granting us the time to be able to do that. And we're in support of the -1 amendments as presented.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jim Gardner, appearing today for Pharma, and I, too, echo that sentiment, and I want to just personally thank Keith for hearing us out, listening, and taking seriously our concerns and our efforts to improve the bill and make it more consistent with the federal law.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much, panel.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wistand.
I move -1s in the House Bill 2264.
Representative Wistand moves the -1s in the House Bill 2264. Is there any Discussion, is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
So there's no fiscal.
We can go ahead. Right, we can go ahead. Yeah. Well, okay. It's to wait subsequent referral.
We do have a subsequent. It's gone. You said
it's gone. Okay. It to the floor.
Wait, it's gone? Okay. Maybe it's gone. I didn't realize this. So we can wait.
Okay, wait and see if we can get rescinded.
Okay. There's a subsequent referral to Ways and Means we believe should be rescinded with the dash ones, but since we don't have that information here, we'll close the hearing on that. And we will carry it to tomorrow. We'll carry it over till tomorrow. Open a public hearing work session on House Bill 2171.
House Bill 2171 was first heard back on February 3rd and then again, I believe, on March 9th. It allows for prosecution for failure to report as a sex offender following a change of address in either the county in which the person previously reported or the county in which the person now resides. Subsequently, dash twos were adopted. Just make note of here. And so we're here today because at the time it had a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. The paperwork's come back. It's minimal expenditure with no fiscal impact statement issued on the dash twos. We have subsequently had the referral to Ways and Means rescinded, and we are able now at this point to move 2171 as amended to the floor.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wilson.
I move the dash twos in the House Bill 2171.
We already did that.
Well, I just want to be sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Just checking to see if you catch it.
If you're awake.
Is this the proper time for discussion?
We can have a discussion. Go ahead. That's fine.
Okay. So,
you have a motion?
No,
we need to move.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get a motion first.
Mr. Chair, I'll move, since the representative wanted to make sure we had the dash twos, 2171 as amended to the House floor with the due pass.
Representative Cameron moves House Bill 2171 to the floor with the due pass. Discussion, Representative Shields.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this authorizes prosecution for failure to report a sex offender following a change of residence in county which person previously reported or county in which person resides. So this is going to allow for prosecution that we couldn't currently prosecute on.
No, that's what it does is clarify where basically venue and jurisdiction is. Is it in the county they left, the county they moved to? So this isn't going to in any way change the number of people prosecuted or those who could have been prosecuted. It's going to change it's going to resolve the ambiguity between
the venue.
Which of us should be doing this county or that county, and then
it allows either directing it.
Okay, so this is all about venue, not about being able to prosecute. Thank you very much. That was the clarification that I needed.
Mr. Chair.
Just around the fiscal aspects.
Representative Wisner.
And I think it's important to put on the record, this is another bill that brings us in compliance with the Walsh Act.
Thank you. Okay. Is there any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton.
Aye.
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Garrett.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Vice Chair Stiegler?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Motion carries. Would someone like to carry that?
I guess so.
Okay. Representative Wisnett will be carried. Open a work session on House Bill 2874.
Yeah.
House Bill 2874 was first heard on March 30th. And then I guess maybe again on April 6th, though. I didn't recall that. This allows the victim to assert the right to a speedy trial. There are dash one amendments in front of all of the members. If the members will recall at the time of the public hearing, Some folks raised a question as to whether or not this would in any way impede the defendant's right to due process, and therefore, on the dash ones, the language, basically it refers to the constitutional language, so it affects the defendant. This will not affect the defendant's due process right to adequately prepare, prevent, or present a defense. So. sorry, I can't speak today, apparently.
And are there more amendments coming on this?
There is a dash two. The dash two, I understand, addressed the kind of procedurally when this would be brought up. We have the paperwork ready on the dash one. There's a minimal fiscal, no revenue, and so my suggestion was to move this today out, to vote on it, and then if it's moved, to move it out of the House and then address the procedural. It's not controversial over in the Senate side.
Dash two.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Garrett.
I worked on the dash two in with the Judicial Department. The concern was that if this bill was construed to require a hearing on every time a claim was asserted, it could actually achieve the opposite of what the proponents of this bill want, which is to speed the process up. And so this is simply to clarify that if the court believes a speedy trial motion can be resolved on the paper record, it can do so. I think it's a better bill with the amendment, but if it's your desire to move the bill for the sake of expediency without it, I can support that, but I think this should be amended on the Senate side.
Question? Representative Stigler?
Clarification. Did you say that we had the paperwork back regarding the fiscal?
We have it for the dash one.
But that's what I'm saying, for the dash ones, and it's minimal?
It's minimal.
So part of that, then, that issue is addressed. That if part of, and I just want to be clear, part of the concern was from the Judicial Department that there would be an interpretation. There would have to be an individual hearing every time. And it sounds like it hasn't been interpreted, at least by LFO, that way, which is unusual.
But the dash twos will clarify that.
But further, you're saying.
Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, of course, I suppose I want to echo what I believe Representative Garrett and Stigler are saying, in that I will defer to you if it's your desire to move it out. That said, I feel very uncomfortable moving the bill without the dash two. I really appreciate Representative Garrett's work he's put into that.
Okay. We're running out of time, but I'll go ahead and hold this one until we get the fiscal back on the dash two, so we set it up the way we want it, just to be safe rather than something happening.
My two cents would be it's inconceivable to me that this would have a different fiscal.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to suspend, I mean, I know you can't.
No, yeah, we could, but I'd rather not do that. Close the public hearing on 2874. Open a work session on House Bill 2262.
Chris, we didn't put the dash ones in.
The 2262 was first heard on February 16th. It authorizes the trial court to reinstate charges previously dismissed against a defendant. However, this bill has now been deleted by the dash twos, and there's a summary of the dash twos, I believe, on your measure summaries, though I don't have that copy in front of me. I believe Reinhold Schenkel and Michael Slauson are here from DOJ to discuss the dash twos.
Yeah, please.
Okay, the dash two.
I got a dash two.
For the record, Ron L. Schenkel with the Attorney General's Office, and I have with me Michael Slauson from our Criminal Justice Section. Just by way of a very quick reminder, this was a bill that we originally brought to you that we were looking at putting some particular policy, or having you put particular policy into statute about what would happen when plea agreements are made between the defense and the prosecution and then something changes. And in a nutshell, through a series of negotiations and some research, what you have in front of you today is a much lesser, maybe even watered-down version, but nonetheless important for both sides of the equation, and especially for the victims and the defendants themselves. And all it does is ask that in any plea agreement, when it's being written and submitted to the court, that they include language that say what the intent is if that agreement is later changed. That's all we're asking for, is that all of the courts, in whatever form they use, include that language. Michael's here to answer questions, but that's basically what the bill does at this point.
Questions? Representative Garrett.
Thank you. I'm reading the amendment. I noticed that at the bottom of the dash two, page one, it says that if the agreement is going to require the reinstatement of charges, the defendant needs to provide a written waiver of the statute of limitations as well as any statutory or constitutional speedy trial or double jeopardy rights.
Chair Barker, Representative Garrett, my name is Michael Slosson from the Oregon Department of Justice. That accurately reflects what it says, yes.
Okay. I just wondered why. There could be other constitutional rights asserted. We've singled out two rights that must be waived in the agreement. What was the reasoning behind identifying those two and not others?
Barker and Representative Garrett, the non-attorney, is going to answer. That wasn't in our proposal, but Legislative Council put that in. They chose those two and added them in, feeling that it was appropriate.
Okay.
Further discussion? Representative Shields?
Mr. Chair, is there a staff measure summary of the Dash 2 amendments that might describe this in English?
It should be in front of you. It says the Dash 2 amendment deletes the original bill and instead provides that any plea petition involving the dismissal of criminal charges must include provisions detailing how the court is to address the dismissed counts if the plea is subsequently withdrawn or judgment of conviction is reversed or set aside.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Further questions, anybody? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are we ready for a motion? Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2s be adopted.
Representative Siegler moves the Dash 2s to be adopted in House Bill 2262. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
I'd further move that. Oh, no, we don't have a. Sorry.
Can you just carry this to tomorrow?
Yeah, this will be carried over tomorrow as well. Close the work session on House Bill 2262. Open a work session, House Bill 2991.
2991 was first heard back on March 10th. The original bill exempted transfer of a firearm from performing a criminal history record check if the purchaser or recipient already had a concealed handgun license. There are Dash 2 amendments that arrived today, so I'm hoping that the proponents here to speak to them.
I don't.
I'll share.
Okay, Chair Barker, members of the committee, I actually haven't seen that draft myself, but assuming it is the ones that we proposed, essentially what the Dash 2 amendments seek to do is address the two issues that were outlined in the fiscal impact statement. I think the second paragraph of that talked about how there was a federal issue, and even if you made it so a CHL holder by state law didn't have to have a criminal background check, federal law would still mandate a national instant criminal background check system. Now, some states, Idaho is an example of one, the CHL itself qualifies as an alternative to the national instant criminal background check system. And the reason for that is because all aspects of the CHL conform to the Brady Law. Now, the reason, and I spoke to an Oregon agent of the ATF, the director of the Records and Identification Division of the Oregon branch of the ATF, and I spoke to the director of the ID and Records Division at the federal level of the ATF, and they said that the main reason why Oregon's CHL is not recognized as a valid alternative to the NICS check is because the NICS check is not required when a CHL is issued. So a sheriff will check Oregon's criminal database system, and the Oregon State Police will retain the fingerprints, but in speaking with people at Oregon State Police records, they never go the next step NSCHL and perform the National Instant Criminal Background Check, which is kind of counterintuitive if you think about the fact that they do that criminal background check at the national level when you purchase a firearm, but they don't do it when they're issuing a license to allow you to carry a concealed firearm. So essentially what the Dash 2 amendments do is make it so the CHL, this bill would actually have an effect, because as written, the original bill would do nothing because Oregon State Police would still have to perform the criminal background check each time someone purchased a firearm. But now the Dash 2 amendments will get over that roadblock that currently the CHL is not recognized as a valid alternative to the NICS check when purchasing a firearm. And then because this does put another step for the Oregon State Police at the time of considering a CHL, we added a $10 fee increase to the CHL. And the reason why we chose $10 is because that's currently the fee that Oregon State Police charges to do the same check when you purchase a firearm. So it's the same amount for the same amount of work, essentially. And that should offset some of the second point of contention on the fiscal impact statement, and that was the revenue loss to the Oregon State Police. So essentially we're making it harder to get a CHL license and
$10 fee.
And require more money.
Yeah, I think this isn't.
Is there a $10 fee?
Where the fee is that on the original bill, not on the dash ones? No. Or?
It should be in Chair Barker. It should be in the same amendments as the NICS check.
We don't have the dash ones.
Or have dash twos.
We have the dash twos before us now. Are you speaking to dash twos, or was there also a dash one that you know of that had been put forth?
These dash twos are not the ones I'm talking about.
That's the dash two.
I apologize.
So there must be a different dash.
Yeah.
I don't think I have the other.
These are the only ones that we've received.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll shut her down. It's that easy. Yeah. Okay. Well, we have to wait to get those.
So you will see the ones that I just spoke about eventually.
Right. That'll be good.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing those.
Mr. Chair, can I ask just one quick question?
Yes, sure.
So with the dash twos, what's this do for the sheriff then for violating federal law? Or does that take care of that issue? Because there seemed to be some concern with that.
The amendments that apparently we don't have, I think he said, requires the check, which would cover that. I think is what I heard.
Okay.
Once he was talking about, not these.
Yeah, I'm looking at these for the first time as well. So I apologize.
Thank you.
Okay, close the work session on House Bill 2991. Is there any further business to come before the committee? Woo-hoo. So